So, Dr. Clayton, this discussion has been that we can use to treat people with sexual dysfunction. Identifying sexual dysfunction, like you know, should be administering some question because people may
particularly for and present with depressive illness changes with and whether sexual dysfunction, and in that case, we're going to make it available on your site and. People can use it if they're only clinically to take care of their patients. To publish it, if it's in a research, they think they might publish it, their accumulated data in the future, then they need specifically and have an agreement about that.
So the changes in sexual functioning questionnaire is a very well-known, widely used in the literature. I have used it in a research study myself. To which you hold the copyright.
Correct.
And if anybody intends to use it for research, then they have to write to you for permission and there is a fee associated with that. But you are very kindly allowing the listeners of Simple and Practical Mental Health to download it from our website free of cost. And they can use it in their clinical practices as long as it's nothing to do with research.
They're That's
not
correct.
Using it for it. Thank you. That is really terrific.
And it's 14 items. It takes less than 5 minutes for people to fill it out. It's easily scored. A couple of the items are reverse scored, but those numbers are right there next to the boxes.
Yeah, there are boxes at the bottom allowing you to total. So there's a male version and a female version. So we would print out two different versions of the questionnaire, and we can give it. And this is self-rated, right? The patient will do it before they even see us or after they see us.
Right.
And so it doesn't take up clinician time.
Right. And we can then track what's going on over time because that becomes very significant. If people have psychotic illnesses, we usually don't screen them right at the beginning, but they may develop sexual dysfunction from their treatments, and then we would also evaluate them. And it's been used in that population.
But let's say a person with a major depressive disorder or generalized anxiety disorder comes in and we are considering giving them medication. So you said have them do the questionnaire at baseline before you start the medicine.
That's right.
That's important because, and then how frequently should we do it? Ballpark, is there like a broad recommendation you might make?
I think in general, when we looked at antidepressants and how rapidly the problem develops with them, we found that this was normal, healthy, control men. If they got paroxetine, 20 milligrams, they developed orgasmic dysfunction in 4 days, arousal problems or erectile dysfunction in 6 days,
wow,
and ultimately desire and satisfaction problems by 14 days.
Pretty early on.
So, yes, by the time steady state of the drug is reached, you start to see effects on sexual function, and it tends to be sort of reversed order of the sexual process, right? Orgasm, arousal, desire, rather than desire, arousal, orgasm.
Okay. That's I never heard that before. So yeah, even though we ask about desire and then you have arousal and then you have orgasm, but the problems occur in reverse order, like the orgasm problems occur first and then the arousal problems and then the desire. That's very interesting.
And so you could see an effect in 14 days if people were having sex frequently enough.
Yeah.
So I think we tend to make drug changes or med dose changes after maybe 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Or maybe a little bit longer. And we would probably do a rating then.
So do it at baseline and maybe after a month and mm-hmm. then as needed.
Right.
But if we see a worsening of the sexual dysfunction on the questionnaires, the score goes in the wrong direction, how do we know that it's due to the depression or due to the medication, antidepressant?
So if you've gotten a measure at baseline and then you treat them with an antidepressant and you see improvements in the other depressive symptoms, but no improvement in sexual functioning or potentially worsening in sexual functioning with the antidepressant, and especially upping the dose because the ones that contribute to sexual dysfunction are worse at higher doses.
Right.
Then I think it's not unreasonable to attribute it to the drug.
Right.
And then you might want to think about augmenting that or antidotes, however you want to think about that, or switching them to an antidepressant that's less likely to cause sexual dysfunction.
Okay. So one is that if the depression improves but the sexual dysfunction doesn't improve.
Right.
Or the sexual dysfunction actually worsens.
Right.
And then the other important tip that you gave, I want to make sure our listeners don't miss that point, that if the sexual dysfunction, if you used escitalopram 10 milligrams and then you increased it to 20 milligrams, you can compare. And usually sexual dysfunction tends to be dose related. And if it's worse at 20 milligrams than at 10 milligrams, it's more likely that it's due to the medication.
That's right.